If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Alright, everybody, welcome to the show. Gideon, how's it going this week, man?
It's going good, dude. A little busy, preparing for having my family over next week, but other than that, just been hanging out, getting closer to finishing Adventure Time. Finally got to season 7. It's fucking awesome, dude. It's like so good. Like the storytelling and everything. This is my first time going through it all the way. Haven't played too much. But I did really hype another library poll. Dude, I got Astrobot in from the library,
nice.
Which is dope because, like, I put a hold on it when it released, and yeah. I was, like, fifth for a while, and then was stuck at, like, three people ahead of me for, like, fucking weeks and weeks and months. I was like, someone's just holding on to it. They're not, like, giving it back or whatever. But I guess they finally did because it moved up, and now I got it, so...
Nice,
I got that
nice.
For like 2 weeks, I think, almost.
Okay, you can definitely finish it in 2 weeks. And I finished it 3 times. I love Astrobot, so I really, really like that game. People are a little over the top on saying it's the best 3D platformer of all time. It is not. It does not even scrape the dirt off of a good 3D Mario's shoes.
Yeah.
But that's it great. Is pretty good outside. People saying it's the best 3D platformer ever need to like touch some serious grass. Like go play Mario Odyssey for 10 minutes. Then talk to me about Astrobot. But it's great.
And I'm happy we have it. I hope we get more of this type of game.
Yes, I completely agree.
Like a kart racing dude, Astro's karting or something.
Yeah. There's a strong rumor that there is going to be a PS5 re-release of the original Little Big Planet. So that would be like really cool for like, I don't want to say like Xbox is out of it, but if Xbox is going to be like a less serious competitor in the space, it would be cool if Sony like, you know, made some like with some like kid games, like Nintendo style games again. Mm-hmm. So it would be cool if they moved a little bit back further in that direction. And I will say Astrobot ends incredibly strong. The ending is really, really good.
Okay. I finished and 100% the first like planet or whatever.
Yeah, the Gorilla Nebula.
Yeah, that one. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did the Ape Escape level then?
Yeah. Yeah, that was awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That was really fun.
Awesome. So yeah, glad you're doing that. How's the Fortnite Battle Pass?
I haven't like bought it yet. Okay. It's pretty good. It's interesting. It's like I played a little. So like the bonus skin, you have like the main battle pass, right? And then there's a bonus skin that you could either like, you can do like a buy like 25 pass or 25 levels or whatever, and they give you the bonus skin like early, and you get Superman for the bonus skin. But it's all like superheroes and stuff, and they have a bunch of cool mythics where it's just like you have like these sound like sonic blasters that you can use to like propel yourself like throughout the map. That's pretty sweet. Or these like slow-mo dual revolvers where you can do like some stranglehold type shit.
Okay, cool.
You know, like bullet time. And then there's one where you can kind of like almost like turn into like an electric werewolf and just like stomp shit. So yeah, it's pretty sweet. But I haven't played as much as the previous seasons because I've been trying to play like other stuff, and I haven't gone back to Death Stranding yet, but I probably will this weekend. And I'm gonna have my sister when she visits. I'm gonna have her play the opening. I'm like, you gotta watch this.
The first hour is very strong.
I love it. That's what I'm curious about. Cause did you say the second one's releasing tonight?
Tonight at 11.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to know what you feel about the intro. compared to the first one.
Okay. I've all I know about it is that people say that it's incredibly similar to the first game, which is weird to say about a sequel. So I'm like curious what as like more detail what they mean by that, but I guess I'll find out sooner or later.
Nice.
Neil, you are in Wisconsin. How is it going?
It's going well. Getting ready to you and Grace and Paul and Xander and all them. Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be a good time. Through the torture of helping my mom to buy a new phone. She was on a iPhone 8 for the past few years, and we got iPhone 15, so now she has a nicer phone than me.
Nice.
Both my parents have this thing where they've like thought through something in their head, and then they don't, and then they expect you, or in this case, the salesman, to understand.
Mm-hmm.
He kept asking, is this going to raise my phone bill? And I kept telling her, well, yes, because you're going to be paying for the phone on the phone bill, but it's not going to raise your service charge. And she couldn't get around calling it a service charge. And she's like, the guy, is this going to raise my phone bill? And he kept saying, yes. And explained, no, sorry, we mean, it's not going to raise her service charge. It's going to raise her overall phone bill.
Right.
And then, like, for the phone conversation, like, every, like, 4 minutes until I was just kind of like, look, just to charge her.
And just say, listen, Mom, we can just charge you $800 for the phone right now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that'll change your mind real quick.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah. No, I've just had my parents up, so I am fully, I had like fully inoculated myself to like boomer mode, and I, you know, like I got my Wonder Woman gauntlets up, and I've been deflecting shit all weekend. So they were here for Friday and Saturday, went out to a nice dinner, on Friday, where it was loud and they were like struggling to hear each other in the restaurant. What?
Dude, that's the worst. I hate when it's too loud in a place you're trying to have a conversation.
It was loud. They're just not used to, and why should they be? I mean, Muscatine has what, 25,000 people in it? And what's the busiest restaurant in Muscatine? Salvatore's?
I have no idea.
Right, like McDonald's. McDonald's at 8 a.m. on a Saturday for some reason.
What I've heard of Salvatore's, isn't that kind of the place, the sort of place where maybe you don't want to overhear some shit?
It's a long story, but but what my parents weren't anticipating is like Minneapolis has 400,000 people in it, but the surrounding metro area, which includes St. Paul. And then all the surrounding first ring suburbs is like 4 point some million, right? There's a lot of people in the Twin Cities. So, you know, like if you go to a busy restaurant on Friday night, it's going to be packed and it's going to be loud. There's going to be a lot of people. So, you know, this is probably a 200, 300 seater Italian restaurant on the outskirts of Minneapolis. And they were just blown away at how many people and how many fancy cars were in the parking lot and blah, blah, blah. So it was just, we had a great time. Go ahead.
Was it not loud? Like, cause of the music, just like other people and ambiance?
It was just loud in the room. There was just so many people in the restaurant.
I gotcha. Okay.
Right.
I thought it was a music thing, but yeah, go ahead.
No, nothing like that. I've been at places like that here and I can't stand that. Like loud music in restaurants, drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
And my dad brought his guitars from when he played in a band in the 80s, and they've been sitting in a closet like literally since the Reagan administration. So we took them to a really, really great guitar store that's like worked on all my stuff, and just took them in and got them checked in for service. So basically they're going to make those guitars playable again now that my dad is approaching retirement. Hopefully we can get him back on the wagon. I think he's a little afraid of like not being very good and like the negative emotion of like having lost a step, but I have confidence that he'll get back on the bandwagon and he'll be able to pick it up much faster because it's somewhere in there. Right. I mean, it's somewhere back in the gray matter. So once he has the time to sit down and dedicate to it. I'm very strongly pushing him to get back into that and have a little something going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. So been doing that. Death Stranding 2 is tonight. So that's going to be a big deal. Otherwise, I'm just...
Anything else or watching anything else?
I just finished Death Stranding.
Okay.
One, as a just to refresh myself. Good time, but, you know, basically felt the same about it for the last 5 years. I've been playing a shitload of Overwatch. This is, like, my game, because I know Death Stranding is coming out, so I'm not going to start, like, some... I didn't want to start Indiana Jones, right? Because Death Stranding is, like, right around the corner, so... Grace finished Indiana Jones, and then I finished Thank Goodness You're Here, which is like a 2 hour kind of comedy game that was like pretty good.
Did you play that PlayStation?
Yeah. I had like PlayStation Stars, their rewards program went offline, and I just ended up cashing in all my existing points for like store credit, and so I got like Gris and Thank Goodness You're Here and like Res and like a bunch of like $2 games, like just stacked them all up and just go. Anyway, we are not here to talk about me being a degenerate and playing PlayStation all day. We are here to talk about the 1975 Steven Spielberg classic Jaws, which I think Neil brought to the podcast.
Yep, this was my pick.
Okay, Neil, why do you want to bring Jaws outside of it being totally awesome?
Well, number one, you know, it officially turned over to Summer a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's some arguments to be made that Jaws was the first summer blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
On top of that, I believe that in or around our time of recording, it has been the Jaws 50th anniversary.
Hell yeah.
So get that nostalgia in there. And then finally... you know, I've got my list of movies that I wanted to bring to the podcast, and for a while, and one of them has been the like 2020 Jason Statham movie, The Meg.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sam was complaining that we haven't watched any good movies in a while. I was like, oh, fine, do the original, compare it to the Meg.
Okay, but before we jump into Jaws, have we all seen The Meg?
I have not, not yet.
Okay, well, get ready, because The Meg is totally awesome. So I have no complaints with The Meg. That's like a perfect summer blockbuster.
I'm excited. I think I've seen the trailer.
It's a Jason Statham movie with a big shark. I mean, like, what do you really... Are you expecting... Are you going to get, like, Federico Fellini? No, but, like, that's not what you're here for, so...
Yeah, it looks fun. Hell yeah.
There are some things I'm going to bring up, like... Comparing it to sort of modern monster movies that I think are kind of interesting. So, when we get there.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds I'm just good. To say the only thing I think is, like, it's not even that I don't like it about The Meg. I just think it's weird that, like, it was obviously funded by some Chinese state-sanctioned production company, because, like, half the actors in the movie are, like, big-name Chinese actors. So it was, like, made explicitly to be, like, this is going to be a big hit in the States. And a big hit in China. And then the lead actress from The Meg, the Chinese girl, like, got disappeared by the Chinese government and then showed up like 3 years later. It was totally fine.
Fuck.
Yeah. So like, I'm not, that's not a hit against the movie. I'm just saying there's some like weirdness surrounding the production.
Right. That is strange.
Yeah. Okay. So Neil, you basically gave us the reason why you wanted to bring Jaws. What was your history with it? When did you see Jaws for the first time? Do you even... I feel like everybody has seen this movie. When did you see it for the first time?
Sometime like prior to me being in high school. I remember watching Jaws 1 and 2. I haven't seen Jaws 3 or 4. I think that's as many Jaws movies as there are, right? 4 Jaws?
No idea.
Although I have seen... Because I think so, 1, 2 are both in Amity. The third is like at SeaWorld, or you know, like the non-copyright equivalent. And then the fourth one has Michael Caine and the wife from this movie, and they kill the shark by hitting it with a sailboat, which makes it explode. Which I've seen the clips of, but I haven't seen the movie. And then there's a Michael Caine quote where like he was asked if he had seen Jaws 4, and he's like, No, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen the house that it built.
Right, yeah.
But I remember watching it like with some friends, got rented the VHS from the family video and, you know, get some Casey's pizza and, you know, just all cram together on the couch and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, that's all you can really hope for. I mean, it's like a, like you said, it's kind of like a perfect summer movie in that way. What was your history with this movie? Have you seen this? Obviously you'd seen it before, but maybe on TV or what's going on?
Yeah, so actually I was really late to this movie. I've only seen it once before this in full, and I think it was on DVD in 2018. I think it was also like similar to like Alien. I think it was another movie my dad like always talked about but never showed me for some reason.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange and funny to me, but watched on DVD, loved it, and this time watched it on 4K for the first time. I'll have to take a picture or video or something, but I have this cool lenticular cover. It's just the jaws like shark with, you know, the title and his mouth and everything. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's perfect summer movie. It's a really interesting like genre blend of lots of different things, and it's so iconic in so many different ways.
Okay. Similar to you, my dad was like, I asked my dad about most of the movies that we do on the podcast, if they're like from his, I don't ask him about Blue Velvet, but I ask him about movies like this. And, I said, hey, you know, have you seen this before? And he said, yeah. So he actually saw it the summer it came out when he was 10. And was like afraid to go in the YMCA pool for like the entire summer. So, he had the perfect experience. This kind of brings up an interesting topic before we kind of get into the movie proper. Did you guys know Jaws was rated PG?
Is it PG? I thought it was
PG-13. It is PG. There was no PG-13 pre-1985.
Oh. Didn't we watch the movie that like forced them to make the PG-13? I feel like that was a trivia point on one of our previous episodes.
So we have never watched them, but it's Poltergeist and Gremlins were the two movies that made the PG-13 rating come about. Because both of them were marketed as like, well, particularly Gremlins was marketed as like a Christmas movie. And then all of a sudden, like the mom is like, fucking stabbing one like Jason Voorhees, like, and then she like explodes one in the microwave, and the gremlins are like fucking killing people. So there was a bunch of like complaints, and movie theaters didn't know what to do. So Steven Spielberg actually, so that ties nicely back into this, went to the MPAA and basically lobbied for a PG-13 to be a stopgap between, because at this point in time, as you guys experienced with this movie, PG encompasses a lot. Like, there's full frontal nudity in Jaws, and there's, like, it's pretty violent. But that wasn't enough to get it an R. You had to be, like, Midnight Cowboy or Taxi Driver or something to, like, really get an R in the 70s. Or, like, The Exorcist, right? But you could go pretty far on just a PG, which I'm not offended by it. I think it's, like, totally reasonable. Like, I would have no problem, like, watching this with, like, my dad said he was 10. I think this movie's, like, totally fine for a 10-year-old, personally, like, if they're watching with their parents or whatever. But that's another question altogether. But, so that's where the PG-13 comes from. And, indeed, this movie is rated PG, which is a little surprising.
That's crazy. The whole time I was watching, I thought it was PG-13. So that makes it even better and even crazier. Because it is so fucking bloody and violent. It's crazy.
Especially like, some of them aren't so bad. Like, they get pulled into the water and then they like let a bunch of like red goo go into the ocean. So like, you know, you just kind of get the idea. But man, Quint dying at the end is like brutal.
Yeah. The guy, when like the shark is in the pond and the guy loses his fucking leg, and there's just a shot of the whole leg. Yeah. It's like, oh my God. Yeah.
So Neil, I mean, it almost seems like parody for us to be like recapping the synopsis of Jaws, but do you want to do your best and kind of just give us a summation of of what goes on in this movie?
Okay. I mean, yeah. So, you've got Amity, like Massachusetts, New England, you know, like northern beach country. It's the summer months, and you know, it's a tourist town. They depend on Amity needs summer dollars.
It's a summer town.
yeah. it's getting just like the 4th of July peak beach season, and a couple of people, you know, there's been some like disappearances that the town is kind of like willfully ignoring, and it's finally revealed that there's a massive great white shark that's eating people off the coast. And
that would be an interesting recasting of of Jaws.
But yeah, Chief Brody has to, you know, find the people who are willing to actually fight the problem and, you know, kill the shark.
Okay, yeah, I would say that's an interesting summation. Okay, something I want you guys to be thinking about, and then I'm going to come back to at the end of the podcast. I want you to recast Jaws with three horrible casting decisions for the three main characters.
Okay.
So just be thinking about that, and then I'll come back around at the end, and we'll reveal what our picks are. I'll start some notes over here of if I come up with some ideas. I've already got a great one, but all right. So let's see. Let's give our 10,000 foot thoughts. I think my initial impression when thinking about Jaws is that everybody talks about, you know, it's like the lowest brow bit of movie trivia ever to say like, oh, Jaws is awesome because their mechanical shark didn't work, and so it's scarier if you don't see the shark. I think that's all well and good, whatever, you know, it's like a thrilling movie, but the beauty of Jaws is in the three main characters of Brody, Richard Dreyfuss, and Quint. And it's all about the relationship between those three guys. The mom, yeah, who cares? The mayor is annoying, but like, again, he's not even in it for like half the movie. The movie really takes off and gets incredible once it's those three guys on the boat together. And really, it's down to Quint and Richard Dreyfuss, because I don't think like the lead guy is all that interesting, but he's like a good straight man. Like if they were all crazy like Quint, Quint wouldn't be so strong. But Hooper is Richard Dreyfuss, who is awesome and is in so many good movies from this era.
Well, okay, so one thing I wanted to point out about him is mm-hmm. that he'd in American Graffiti.
Yeah,
right.
Where he plays a high schooler. I think he was like 27 when they filmed it. He plays a graduated senior. And this was made 2 years later. And he's like this hairy. He's just a ball of hair. He's.
Yeah, the 70s evolution had really gone. Well, I mean, I know that American Graffiti is in 62, so everybody's very clean cut and short hair. But yeah, you're right. It is funny to think that American Graffiti came out like so close to this, and
yeah,
he looks totally different. So you're right about that. So basically, that's my point, is that I love this movie, but I think the fact that it is a shark movie is almost, I don't want to say irrelevant, but it is not why I like it. I just think that the main cast is extremely strong and they give incredible performances, and that's really what is so great about this. You know, and we all like to see sharks go boom. I mean, that's cool too. So, Gideon, what about you? And then we'll go back to our man of the hour, Neil.
Yeah, just kind of overall thoughts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Man, yeah, like, obviously not to bury the lead or whatever, but it is, like, iconic in so many different ways of, like, I think it is one of the best, like, horror movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, a blend of, like, not quite family drama, but plenty of drama and, like, an adventure movie. It's definitely adventure coded, like especially with the end and everything. But also, yeah, like that perfect summer movie, seeing everyone go to the beach and like, just the way it's like framed and staged and just like the colors of the town. I'm like, damn, I'd love to visit, like just stuff like that. Really enjoyable. You know, obviously I'm not super familiar with this movie, as this only being my second watch. But man, I'm just, yeah, totally shocked by the violence. One thing I really like, I haven't seen like all Spielberg stuff, but I'm always a big fan of his dialogue when it's like really well done like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's like them being actors just like totally melts away, and they all just feel like characters in this town. And I, that's like one of my favorite things about a good movie, is just like getting lost in that. And even when like the credits are rolling, personally, like I really liked his wife character. You know, he's so fucking like stressed out. He's like reading the books about the sharks, and he's like, it has so many good like visual aids in this movie, where it's like, here's pictures of shark victims with huge chunks out of their legs and bodies. And she like gives him like a glass of whiskey or something, like, relax. And then he's like, get out of the boat, you know. And she's like, oh, let him play. And then she looks at the shark picture, like shark attack in a pier or boat or something. She's like, get the hell out of there. So just the whole world is a lot of fun. And yeah, a lot of fun with these characters. And yeah, even like I'm maybe not as big on the trio bros at the end as much as I am other things.
Yeah.
But I do love how crazy Quint is, and just like his jargon and shit like that.
Is it weird that he reminds me of Mr. Krabs?
No, not at all. Totally. Huge Mr. Krabs energies.
How about you, Neil?
So one thing I wanted to just circle back to about our like PG versus PG-13 that Gideon brought up is, you know, like with the rating system, like there's like gore and like how realistic it is a factor, but there's a couple of like shots in the books that Roy Schneider, Chief Brody, is looking at, where it's not even like people who've survived shark attacks, but like, and there's like missing chunks and it's like healed over. It's like there's a shot of like a woman with her leg just like shredded, and it's like I'm confident that's a real photograph of a shark attack victim, where so it's like real gore,
yeah,
in the movie, but like because it's secondhand, it's okay. I don't know, just a weird like loophole, I guess.
Right. You know, this is maybe not a good comparison, but it's always puzzled me, Neil, for the same reason. Like on Travel Channel, they'll show full frontal nudity, but it's like, I mean, for lack of a better term, like African bush people.
Mm-hmm.
Like they show like human, like full frontal human nudity, but they're like, oh, it doesn't count. It's African bush people. I'm just like, it's still people. Like, what's the difference? You know, like that's always struck me as such a, like, I kind of understand it, but like in the same way, in the back of my mind, I'm like, what are you saying about African bush people? That, you know, what is, like, we're watching the fucking zoo, like we're on fucking Animal Planet. Like, that's weird that you don't censor them. You censor everybody else.
Do you think it's like, it's weird too, especially with censorship, which I did want to talk about censorship, but if it's like, maybe they're like, oh, but it's part of their culture or something, and they don't want to like disrespect that. But I don't know. Quick aside about the censorship thing. I heard that, what was that Australian movie we watched?
Crocodile Dundee.
I heard the 4K of that is like gonna have all the like homophobic and transphobic like stuff like cut out of the film.
Yeah.
And like that pisses me off so much. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I hate like stuff getting cut like that and just altering it. It's like, okay, we've maybe evolved as a society in some ways, but like, I don't know.
History, well, it's like deleted. It's insulting, right? Because it's like, what, we can't handle that?
Yeah, I feel like we should have the agency to pick it.
Or it's like, you think that I'm so dim-witted that I'm going to see it in a movie from the 80s and be like, well, it was in a movie. Well, it's okay for me to say it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what do they think is going to happen if I watch Crocodile Dundee? Like, I'm going to you know, go get the corpse of a kangaroo and use it to prop up an AK-47 and start blasting poachers.
I don't know, Sam. You did watch Drive and then get the Drive jacket, so
yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's because Ryan Gosling is literally me. So
yeah. He had to. You just looked in the mirror and it appeared one day.
No, it was like the Green Goblin mask calling to me from across the room. All right, back to Joss.
Yeah.
I just had a great idea for my Joss recasting. Okay, somebody else talk for a second.
And are they alive actors or can they be passed away?
Yeah, whoever. Yeah, they can be passed away. Okay. Mainly because I want to see somebody cast a Dennis Hopper as Quint, but
the way I'm looking, I think Dennis Hopper would do a great job as Quint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so a couple of like 10,000 foot thoughts. Number one is that there's an element in movies where it's, you know, show don't tell. You know, you want people to like experience like the scariness of the shark. We mentioned earlier that the shark didn't work, and so that actually caused them to have to reshoot some stuff where you like seeing it from the shark's perspective rather than seeing the shark because they couldn't get it to work. So they had to work around that, which is a cool story in itself. But it's like it's weird because the movie is not like shy about saying like, look, this is a movie about shark attacks. Like the cover is a woman swimming and the shark coming up from underneath her, right? So you as the viewer know that at some point, yeah, we're going to have to deal with a shark. And then when it does finally get revealed and it looks awesome, it's great. And I'm glad that it worked out that way. But, you know, like in a lot of like modern horror movies, you know, they wait for the reveal of like the demon or the monster or something for you to like fully see it. Because they want to keep you in suspense about what it is and like, you know, whatever somebody can make in a CGI studio or practical effects lab is never going to be as scary as like the demons in your own head, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good observation. Is the first time we see, I almost called the shark Jaws. Are we just going to refer to the shark as Jaws?
I think it is Jaws. Yeah,
Jaws the shark.
Yeah, that's what I would call him.
Yeah, is the first time we see. Basically, we get full frontal Jaws when Brody is like putting the chum into the water, and it like comes out of the background.
Yeah, we get a good glimpse of it when it attacks the guy in the boat near his son.
Right,
right.
But yeah, prior to that, like we see the fin or nothing. It's from the shark's perspective, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. That it worked, right. And I think in combination. Again, like, not to sound, this is like the oldest, most unnovel take in the world, but the combination of not seeing the shark and taking the camera from the perspective of the shark, and the combination of that with the music, incredibly effective. They had the perfect elements all lined up. Mm-hmm. It, you know, like it would almost be like discrediting to Spielberg to say that this is like an accidental masterpiece, but it does kind of feel that way sometimes.
So one of the trivia points that I got on Amazon was that apparently so this was like John Williams' like first score.
Holy shit.
And you know, so he presented the dun 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 dun, like, you know, the classic Jaws theme, like that's been, you know, used and parodied a million times. And Steven Spielberg was like, okay, that's great, John. Now what do you really have for me? And somehow it worked out that they used that, but at first Steven Spielberg did not think it was going to work.
Mm. That's fair, with it being it's so simple too. But yeah, so
yeah, effective. Just two notes. Hard to argue with the simplicity of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the Quint's monologue in the boat. I think is like one of the all-time greatest movie monologues, like up there with Tears and Rain and all that. Like the USS Indianapolis monologue, everybody agree with that one?
Yeah, that was crazy. Chilling. Very chilling stuff.
What else was this actor in that played Quint in Jaws?
Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw. What else is he? I mean, this is definitely his most well-known.
From Russia with Love, The Sting. I've heard about that one. I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. I know him. Didn't land, but now I know who he is in The Sting. And it's a very different role.
Okay.
You know, so he's got some... he's got a spread, but not a huge filmography.
Damn, he died like 3 years after Jaws came out.
Oh, really? Damn. Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, he's only 51.
Damn.
That's too bad. Well, this is definitely his most...
iconic.
Most famous role. But yeah, getting to your note, I think we should do The Sting at some point. My mom loves that movie.
And yeah, my dad has told me about that one for years, too. Yeah.
Great cast. Paul Newman and Robert Redford.
Didn't that win like the movie of the year or whatever that year?
I'm looking at it right now.
It won some. Yes, kind of
it won Best Picture at the Academy.
Best Picture, that's the word. Yeah.
Yeah, hard to argue with that lineup. And my mom says it's totally awesome, so I would.
Okay.
I'd be down to watch this thing sometime.
One thing.
Where else? Go ahead.
One thing to speak on about like the kind of like what you guys mentioned, not like show don't tell, but like the less is more with the shark. Like, I think it some of it was really effective even towards the end with like when he's in the cage and he's just like looking around and he doesn't quite know where it is. And you're just seeing like open ocean. I'm like, God, the ocean is so fucking scary. Like, just like you can't really see that far ahead, especially if it's like murky and sand everywhere or whatever. It's like
well, yeah, you're in his house now, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
it's like you know, yes, not seeing the shark makes it scary. I think scarier. I think another thing they do to establish the character of the shark very well is they do like what I would call a RoboCop-ism, which is where they're describing how awesome the shark is, not like in an indirect kind of way. So like, let me give you an example. Like Quint early on is like, oh yeah, I'll harpoon a shark and attach it to one of these floating things so that it like wears the shark out. So you have that established in your mind early on. It's like, oh, that's going to tire a shark out. No big deal. And then they get like two or three of them into Jaws and it doesn't affect, like doesn't really slow them down at all.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's how you know Jaws is badass, because they've already set that up as like, dude, this thing's not even fucking human. It can take like three of those. Well, it's not human. I mean, that's a silly thing to say, but it can take like three buoys in a normal shark. This is like super shark, dude. Like this thing is badass.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good way of setting up. I mean, and even Quint in general, right? Like Quint is established, and he's such a great character. Like he's established as Mr. Master Shark Hunter. He's got all the mouths of the sharks like along the boat, and he's this like awesome ultra badass, but he's like himself is like no match for this badass shark. Like they're selling you on the badassness of Jaws because they've established like almost Dragon Ball Z-esque power levels like indirectly through dialogue, where they're like, okay, Quint's power level is here and he's above most sharks, right? But then they've established that Jaws is like here. Right, because he just was like eating.
Yep.
So they do a very good job with the writing of like telling you what the power levels of all the players are.
Well, even with like one of the most iconic lines, like you're gonna need a bigger boat. Like, you know, like the cop, you know, the authority for the whole island is like, I don't think this is like enough to do it to for the safety of like us and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
I mean, and another way they sell you on that too, speaking of the cop, it is like, he's not just a cop. He's a cop from New York City in the 70s.
Right.
Right. He's like super cop. This is like back when like New York City was like still dangerous and there was no like M&M store in Times Square. I mean, this is like the New York City of Taxi Driver or Midnight Cowboy or something. So this is like Mr. Big Badass Cop in the little small town, and he can't handle the situation. Is like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like he probably moved there to try and relax, because even in the beginning, when he's like leaving his house, doesn't he say, like, oh, like nothing ever happens here or whatever? And they talk about how there hasn't been a murder in like 25 years or whatever and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, not so. And yeah, we got to get around to watching Taxi Driver. I love that movie. And I've been hesitant about bringing it because it's such a surefire hit. I mean, it's just so good that it feels like you're stacking the deck for your points at the end of the year just by bringing it. But okay, anyway, what else do we want to talk about with Jaws? I feel like it's such a simple premise, you know, it's hard to like elaborate too much.
I was curious, did you guys jump at all with any of the scares, let's call it, in the movie?
When the dead body comes out of the boat,
yeah,
like just that, the face and it's missing the eye, that got me.
That definitely gets me.
I was rewatching with my mom and she screamed what happened.
Dude, it's freaky. And there is like a scream noise or something that they do. And I had a question about that scene, because when like right after that, they talk to the mayor or whoever, and they're talking about the teeth of the shark. I'm like, why are they not bringing up the dead body that was in the fucking boat, and the boat that's all smashed up that the cop says he like towed to shore? It's like, why don't you show him that? Like, what about the body? And he's like, oh, you don't have the tooth. I'm like, oh my god. And
the mayor in this movie is fucking annoying.
I think
that's part of what makes it work, though, is that like,
right,
the town feels lived in. Like, you know, we've all had that boss or manager who, like, you know, is ignoring the obvious problem because, you know, like, you know, deadlines are coming soon or what have you. And then,
right,
you know, then all of a sudden shit hits the fan and you look like an asshole because, you know, like technically it was your responsibility, but you were told to ignore it. You know, I think we can all relate with Roy Schneider on that front.
100%. The other quick one, not when he's like throwing the chum in the water and you see Jaws like pop out, but there's another one like a little bit after that, and that definitely made me jump this time, because I think maybe they were like tying the rope towards the end of the boat. I think it was around there. I don't really remember, but that got me too.
You know, to your point, Neil, about the townspeople and the stuff. Something they set up, but I don't know like why it's so effective and why it. Sorry, I'm like trying to hold in a burp and podcast at the same time. I'm just being disgusting. is when the little redheaded kid dies, and then his mom like is like figures out that he's dead because he's the only kid that doesn't come back in from the beach. Is like heartbreaking. It's like so horrible. You feel so bad about the situation. Like, I play games all the time where they sit me with a character for 40 hours and like something bad happens. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
What happens to you?
Cry me a fucking river.
Yeah. Anything happens to any character in Stellar Blade, I'm like, whatever. Walk it off. One bad, you know, this little ginger kid gets snapped up. I don't know dick about this kid. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like so sad.
Dude, and the like geyser of blood when he gets chomped. Holy shit. I mean, obviously we always talk about like, oh man, what would it be like to see this when it released, especially something like this. Like, I feel like the violence is always shocking in this movie, and just like it's like, no wonder people didn't want to go swimming or anything after this. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So that's actually something I wanted to bring up, is like a lot of modern monster horror movies are not as effective, I feel, as Jaws. In the not in like like you know, there are arguably like better effects today, and you know, part of it is that, like, again, we don't always see, like, it, you know, for all intents and purposes, it's not a gore movie, right? Like, you know, you're not there to watch somebody getting torn apart like in a Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of thing, right? But I wanted to compare this to a movie like The Meg, or there's the new Jurassic Park or Jurassic World trailer coming out, where I this is partially a joke, but I think it's actually the complaint is real, where like vor fetishists have taken over monster movies. People just get swallowed whole in a lot of a lot of movies, like the Meg, like, you know, it's swallowing like five or six people at a time because the shark's just so big. Like, you know, nobody's getting bitten in half. Like, you can't recreate the scene from the opening of Jaws with Chrissy where she's like getting toyed with almost and like getting dragged around because the shark's just too big. It's just gonna eat her in one go. Or the scene from the first Jurassic World where the woman gets like carried around by pterodactyls and then like swallowed whole by the mosasaur. Or, you know, in the trailers that I've seen for the new Jurassic World, like some guy gets like, he's like ripping the side of a door on a boat and he's like, help me. And then you just hear him screaming, he disappears off screen. Like, that's not as scary to me as like the in your face, like moment with Chrissy. And on top of that, I really want to just shout out the actress who did that. Shit, I'm on the wrong page. But Susan Backlini. I don't know if she's been in anything else. But, you know, like, I think in a lot of modern movies, people just scream. You know, like, it's just, you know, primal noise. And in her scene, she's like, you know, she's like begging, like, somebody, God, help me. Like, and then it's getting blurbled by the water. And to me, that's just like such a much scarier, powerful performance than just or, you know, or just help me, or just, you know, like it, you know, I feel like it's more realistic and that makes it a stronger showing. Like that's what's scary to me over, you know, just chomp.
Yeah
there is something very powerful about like the realism in this movie. I think you're 1000%
and I think that's again partially like, you know, they talk like when we're talking about like Jaws' power level earlier in the movie, some of the fishermen who are after the bounty that the kid's mom puts out catch a tiger shark. And it's a big shark. You know, it'll take a chunk out of you. And Jaws is bigger. But like even Jaws couldn't eat Quint in one bite, like his, you know, his chomp and then like, you know, screaming, stab with machete, chomp, screaming, stab with machete. He's not so big that he's like comical.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
And again, like, okay, yeah, if I'm up against him, he's going to be taking chunks out of me, even against the kid. Like, honestly, I kind of laugh when I watch that scene because it reminds me of like the kid, like almost jumping into the air with like the fountain of blood reminds me of like popping a gushers or a pimple or something. It was just, you know, not, you know, what does that say to me? But like he's not a big kid hole, but so like, but that adds to like, okay, like it's gonna take some time here. We're lingering. It's not chomp and then digestive tract like the Meg, which is always weird to me. And again, I think vor fetishists have taken over monster movies.
Yeah, it's weird because the Meg is actually rated. Let's see. I'm gonna guess PG-13. Yeah, PG-13. In comparison, this the Meg. I don't mean this that it's bad, but it is certainly a more sterile movie. Like it was created, like the Meg is like the new perfect shark movie created in a laboratory, and there's something very gritty and realistic about Jaws. It just lends itself to a wonderful time in American filmmaking in the mid 70s, and it's just.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. What can you say about it? Off topic, did anybody see the news that Denis Villeneuve is directing the new Bond?
I did not. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I agree. Uh-huh. So the next Bond's going to be like 3.5 hours long, but I'll still guess.
Yeah. I'll see. Dude, if it's by him, I'll. Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
Ryan Gosling is Bond. Confirmed. Oh, my. Okay. Does anybody have any interesting casting picks for the trio of Jaws?
God, this is such a tough one.
I'll go first. I have my three. I don't know if they're that funny, but I think this would be a good. I think this would be an okay movie. Officer Brody is played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I was honestly thinking about it.
We're gonna need a bigger boat, and just everybody's sailing on his back. Hooper is played by Owen Wilson.
Wow.
And last but not least, Quint is played by Gary Busey.
Gary Busey.
Okay, my three were you replace Roy Schneider, and I'm just going to go with my original mistake. You know, Chief Brody is going to be played by Adrian.
Yeah. By who?
You know,
Adrian Brody.
A worthy performance. Quint, played by John C. Reilly.
Okay, yeah, that would work, dude.
Like physically, I think it works, and you know, like he's actually turned in some like decent dramatic performances. I think he'd actually do a good job.
When are we gonna watch Walk Hard for this podcast? That movie's awesome.
I was gonna say that we should,
but Richard Dreyfuss's character Hooper, played by whatever the actor from The Big Bang Theory that plays Sheldon.
Oh God, what's his name?
Bingo, it's a shark.
The Sheldon actor. I should know this. Jim Parsons. Okay, interesting. Gideon, okay. You got some or we're gonna come back to you?
I think I got some. Okay. The guy who would play Quint. I'm gonna go with Jack Black. And
it's like a doll's eyes. Wow.
Chicken jockey. I'm gonna have Hooper played by Steve Buscemi. and Brody, I want my boy Timothy Chalamet. Timmy.
Nice. Tim. Dude, I was thinking Philip Seymour Hoffman as Hooper, but I feel like that would actually kind of work. But
oh yeah.
Originally, I was gonna say Christopher Walken as Quint.
That'd be good.
Like,
that
just imagine Indianapolis speech, but delivered at like 0.75 0.75 of the speed. Just the Indianapolis. Oh. 700 men went into that water. 368 came out. I'll never wear a life
tight circles. Sorry.
I'm not killing anybody. It was in 1984. We gotta do True Romance one of these times.
It's on my list.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen so I'm gonna out Neil here on this one. So the only scene I've seen from True Romance is Gideon, do you know what I'm talking about if I say the scene with Christopher Walken and Dennis Hopper?
The Sicilian scene.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, yeah, I won't bury the lead. Basically, Dennis Hopper says the N-word like 15 times, like not right in a row, but like within one monologue. And Neil would show this to me in the student union of the college we both went to on like full volume on his laptop, like within earshot of there's no way to put this lightly, the area of the student commons where all the black kids hung out.
God, dude,
am I misrepresenting this, Neil, or is this basically what happened?
I think you've got the fundamentals there. I think your description makes it sound like I was like intentionally.
Neil was just very excited about showing me this awesome scene from this movie, and it isn't. It is an awesome scene from this movie, for sure. But and at the time, I wasn't thinking about that at all. But in retrospect, I'm like, God, we probably should have been a little bit more careful about that. I probably could have got my ass kicked for
Jesus.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So that was right around the era where like Neil and I became good friends. Anyway, not because of like watching that scene again, but because of like other stuff. Anyway, we're coming up on about an hour. Do we want to get into stars? I feel like stars is almost like Is superfluous the right word for a movie that's this good? I mean, well, what are we thinking?
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about Taxi Driver. I feel like we could probably like almost opt out of rating if we feel like it, maybe. Because I mean, this we all know this is like a classic, and we're gonna want to visit some classics we either want to revisit or haven't seen. So I don't know. We can still rate it though. I don't care.
Yeah. So in the past, Seven Samurai, we said like it doesn't count towards my score for the year, but I think we should still score it.
Yeah. So I'd say let's score, but when we come to the end of the year, we can decide what we want to do with the points. And I think everybody can acknowledge, like everybody's honest enough with themselves to acknowledge like, hey, I brought a classic.
Right.
You know, with knowing that it was like, there's a difference between me by bringing Tomorrowland, which I thought was going to be good, versus
right.
bringing Lawrence of Arabia, which is generally regarded as like the greatest movie ever. So, you know, and we can kind of, who's at the end of the day, who's like counting, right?
Me, I'm the one that's
spreadsheet. Yeah. What did we, I feel like for the second year of movies, did we came up with a list of like what the highest rated movies were overall, but I think the whole like rating who brought the best movies over the course of, like who averaged the best is like, that's like more of a consensus of like who's picking the safest shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that to me is like not an interesting thing to be looking at all, but anyway, we can discuss it in a few weeks when we do our catch up. Podcast or anything, something like that. So, I don't know, Gideon. What are you thinking for a rating here, dude?
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be just like an easy five. Like, I've only seen it twice, but I'm excited to revisit it. I don't know like a bunch about like the trivia. Like, I've heard the shark being faulty and stuff like that. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I heard that maybe the in the beginning when that woman is screaming, which the opening, gotta say, like, yeah, that it may be one of the best like horror kind of openings and setting the tone. I think all that happens in the first 5 minutes, but I think that actress, like, she might have like broke her hip or something when they were like shaking her about. Like, I don't know exactly. I could be wrong. But yeah, I mean, it's like iconic, you know, from the you're gonna need a bigger boat to he's like, oh, it's a tiger shark, a what, you know, like shit like that. And just the way it's shot, I feel like the pacing is excellent. We didn't talk about that, but the pacing is so smooth with this movie.
It's good. It doesn't feel 2 hours long.
No, not at all. The characters are super likable, enjoyable, it's beautifully shot. It was stunning in 4K. I loved seeing it and that. I don't know, dude, it's like it's one of those movies, easy movies, where it's like you have someone who's totally fresh and wanting to get into movies or film history or whatever. And you're like, you have to watch Jaws. You know, if you haven't, you have to.
Yeah. Okay, so you gave it a what? Five?
Five, for sure.
Five.
Okay. Easy five.
I'm going to go with a four. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but because, like, I got to feel, you know, like, you got to feel a five in your scrote. And, you know, I just don't feel that way about this particular movie. Not that, like, again, not that there's anything particularly wrong with it. There are more flawed movies that I personally consider fives.
Right.
But it's hard to find a fault with Jaws, right? It's just so excellent and such a fun
maybe time it is just like not a personal favorite for you, kind of.
It's
thing.
Just not a personal favorite. It's like I like it. I like it well enough. Yeah. But like there are 10 other movies from the 70s that I can name off the top of my head that I like more than I like Jaws.
Totally fair.
That said, every time I watch it, I'm like, this is great. And I don't particularly like long movies, and this is 2 hours and 10 minutes and doesn't really feel like it. So, you know, really like it, but it just doesn't feel right to me to give it a five. I don't know why. I can't really articulate it, but it just doesn't,
I get it.
Doesn't feel right in the screwed. So what about you, Neil?
So, okay. I just want to share one other point of trivia that I just came across. John Williams was conducting the orchestra during the 76 Academy Awards. So when he won the Oscar for best score, he had to leave, go to the podium, accept it, and then run back to conducting the orchestra.
What a boss.
Dude, that's so freaking baller.
But I'm on the same page as you, Sam. Like, for me, this is like a Bone Tomahawk, where it's a great movie. Everybody should watch it at least once. It's just not like made of the same pieces that like really speak to me. Like, that, you know, it was, you know, in some ways, like, it's made because it's made for everybody. It's not made for like a specific person.
And
that specific person is not me.
What did you give to Bone Tomahawk?
I gave it a 4.
Okay. See, that's weird to me, because to me, in my head, that's like the most Neil movie that has ever existed. But okay.
The thing is that, like, at the end of the day, I'm not a gore person.
Mm.
But you gave Audition a 5.
That one just hit too hard.
Yeah.
Well, are you like not a gore person strictly in movies, or how do you do with like video game gore?
Like it doesn't bother me per se. Uh-huh. Just like, it's hard to describe. I don't know. I'm not squeamish, but it's just sometimes it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I wonder what you would think about the newest Final Destination movie in terms of the gore.
No, I won't watch those. Like that gets into the point where I am squeamish. I don't want to watch.
That's totally fair.
It's a weird line. I don't know that if I can fully make a demarcation, but I'll watch Bone Tomahawk and enjoy it. But if one of you guys brings Final Destination to the podcast, I'm gonna like kill you.
I won't force you to do that. I will say I was super apprehensive going in to see this one, because I've like avoided that series like the plague in a similar way to like Saw. But one thing Alyssa told me, and I totally think she was spot on because they even show it in the movie, but it was kind of like watching like Mortal Kombat fatalities play out. Like, it was very like almost like campy fun in that way, almost like the violence in like Doom 2016 and stuff like that.
I totally get
where you're coming from, Neil,
but like this probably isn't like the best way to put it, but like at least the idea of Final Destination movies is that like the point of them is the gore, and that to me is what is gross.
Yeah, that's fair.
That said, I would actually, I've heard that the original Saw movie, not the sequels, but the original Saw movie, actually, some more going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be willing to give it a try.
I think I'm at the point where I probably should watch it too.
I've never seen it. We could do that around Halloween.
That'd be good.
All right, guys. So we got 2 4s and a 5. It's pretty strong showing. Getting you out for 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. I'll be out with my family coming over next week, and then I got some work stuff. I'll be busy the week after.
So would this be a good time then to do either our... Because Lawrence of Arabia is going to take 2 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
So it would be a good time to like find some time to cut that out and do that. Or we could come back in 2 weeks and do our mid-year, figure out our adjust score show. Whatever you guys would prefer, think about it. We'll put it in the chat and we'll just have what we want to do.
Okay. I think I'll be able to manage doing Lawrence. I'll shoot for that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sounds good. Anybody doing anything fun with the rest of the night? I'm playing Death Stranding in 2 hours.
Nice.
What do you do, Neil?
Work on some job applications.
Nice. Those are fun.
Very fun. I might kind of do some rearranging in this room, or just play Death Stranding or something.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I saw an awesome meme recently that is like, my body is a machine that turns thank you for your application into, at this time, we have chosen other candidates.
Oh my god.
So, been there. All right, guys. Well, see you guys in a couple of weeks, or decide when we decide what we want to do. Hopefully everybody finds a nice crispy Blu-ray copy of Lawrence of Arabia to sink your teeth into. You get into Astrobot, and you're gonna we got a lot to talk about. Astrobot is
awesome. I wanna try and power through that.
It's quick. It's like sub 10 hours. You can get through that quick.
Okay. Perfect.
All right. Peace out, guys.
Later, boys.